Wellness Warriors, how are you doing? This is Dr. Katrina Nieskern, physical therapist and coach, and I am coming to you live on this beautiful day here to inspire, uplift, and motivate you, sharing some information, insight on our four pillars of wellness, which is mind, body, soul, and spirit. I'm here to help you, to inspire you, to educate you, to uplift you, and to grow right alongside you. I hope you get the most from this podcast. And if you do, please share, like, comment, leave a review, and give it to someone else. Hopefully that maybe we can make a difference in their lives as well. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, Warriors. We are here today with Dr. Kaylee Zimmerman. She's an amazing physical therapist who is on a mission. She has her own podcast as well as is an incredible women's health guru, the Vagina Doctor. And she is going to tell us about her wellness journey and then kind of how she helps women along in their wellness journey. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I think that, like, I love podcasts, specifically right now, because we're in, like, the middle of the coronavirus, right? So, like, I've been catching up on so many podcasts, and it's been so cool to see everyone that I know is on a podcast, which is amazing. So I love that. But it's really cool, too, to think about right now is a really good time to focus on your wellness and your own journey and your own story and how that is actually building who you're becoming and why you're becoming that person. And not only right now, but we really need to be doing that all the time. It's something that I know Katrina and I both talk to our clients about all the time, but it's also something that we've both experienced in our own lives. And for me particularly, I was a ballet dancer, very similar to your story, I'm sure, but I was a ballet dancer for 20 years. And I talk about, like, make or break my body every day. I don't even know how else to describe it. Like, you wake up and you eat, breathe, and sleep ballet.
I think that's why we're addicted to working in pain. We're just used to it. Like, we're the workout.
Like, I don't even feel it.
I know, right?
Funny story, actually, when I run now, my toenails are so bad from being on point for so long, sometimes they pop off, and I don't feel it. And I was just like, this is interesting. And my husband, like, freaks out when he sees a toenail anywhere. Funny story, but it's totally normal for those of us that have that background. But it's
100%. Crazy. I had a picture of, I had ran like 10 miles, and when I took my shoe off, my sock was saturated in blood, and evidently my other toenail had, like, cut into my other skin. And then my friend was like, that's unhealthy that, like, you can't. I was like, you don't feel pain. Like, you just, your body gets used. It's weird. We're a different breed.
It's such a strange thing now, like, being a physical therapist and treating pain, that I'm just like, well, I don't actually know what that feels like, but anyways, so ballet is actually really what brought me into the world of physical therapy and physical medicine and all of this stuff. And I recognized when I was 15, actually when I was 14, I rolled my ankle really, really, really bad. And as a ballet dancer, you know, typically you just tape it up, you put a boot on, whatever, you got air cast, whatever, but you keep going.
Like, yep.
You don't stop, you don't rehab, you don't do anything differently, and you don't tell your teacher. That's the worst thing you can do.
Oh, yep. No, I made that mistake. I was kicked out of the number.
it's insane. So I did all of that, and I rolled my ankle probably 6-7 times before I was just noticing, like, something was different, and it just kept feeling worse.
Yeah.
So I finally went to a physical therapist, and I got treated for pretty much, like, ankle sprain, whatever, but turns out I had a stress fracture, whole story of, like, recurrent stress fractures. And that's when I started to know or figure out what a physical therapist was. And I thought that that was kind of interesting, because nobody up until that point, even though I was in dance and I was doing, you know, dance, and I had personal trainers and we had athletic trainers and things like that that worked for our dance, like, company, I never knew that you could see a physical therapist and continue to move. I thought that it would be like, if I go to see someone, they're going to make me not do it. And so I went there, and he helped me continue doing what I needed to do with very minimal, like, modifications, making it look the part for the teacher and for the part, but being able to strengthen and do all the things behind the scenes. And that was hugely impactful. And then I saw the same physical therapist, and I have to say that this guy's from Poland, and he's just like one of those people that can look at you and know everything that's going on. And like, he's just amazing. Jaw pain, went and saw him for jaw pain, and I went and saw him for lockjaw after my wisdom teeth. He was like my guy, and I worked with him throughout my whole like dance career. And then fast forward a few years up until I was about 17, there was a, I was assaulted sexually, and that caused and contributed to a lot of pelvic pain, which is when my wellness journey actually started. Because when that happened, I was in such a depressive mode, and I was in a fight or flight mode, and I was like, I don't trust anybody. I never want to talk to anybody. Nobody was offering me any type of help in the wellness world. They were all saying I needed to take this medicine, this antidepressant. At that time wasn't suicidal, but I still like, that's all that they were offering me, you know, go to a counselor, go to a psychologist, get medicine, or a psychiatrist, sorry, get medicine. And it just wasn't working. So I saw all these counselors, did all these things. And I just up and out of nowhere went to college. Thank goodness went to college. I do believe that my husband saved my life because I met him my freshman year of college, and I was going down a bad path of drinking all the time and partying a lot, not paying attention to anything, because I was ignoring the wellness side, the mental health, the aspect of like anxiety, and that that was a thing that could be managed without numbing it. You know what I mean? And so I went through that journey, and I was trying all these things to not feel. I wanted to ignore everything that was going on. So I got through regular school, went to PT school out of state, like totally left everything. It was a great experience, though. Like, it was really fun to do that. Went to PT school, and I still have not, by the way, heard about women's health being a thing. Went through the whole physical therapy training, did all the things, thought I was going to work with ballet dancers and fix their ankles for the rest of my life.
Me too.
Help them, yeah, and help them do what I was doing, and help them do what I did, in a sense of being able to continue to do what you love, because ballet is like my first husband. I always tell my husband.
Me too.
Like, I'm married to dance still.
I'm in love. It's my, I can't imagine anything being greater than my love for dance. Yeah.
You just can't. Like, it just doesn't, it's not even a thing to think about. Yeah. It's just an art. It's part of you. And if you have it for life. You know what I mean?
Yes, I
do. So the tragedy of having to walk away with that was always really difficult for me. But I went to PT school thinking that I was going to work with ballet dancers and, you know, sprained ankles and be the foot whisperer and like all these things that I wanted to be, because I do love working with ankles, by the way. What happened was, from the assault that I had experienced, I was experiencing pelvic pain and urinary incontinence. And so I started to learn and dabble into the research about what pelvic floor physical therapy was. And when I talk about an obsession, it became an obsession, and that's all I did. I studied, and I knew, I took the courses. I flew all over the country to take the courses to learn about what this was. Went into a corporate job, and again, my wellness journey was still not so much taking care of myself. I've always been someone who takes care of everyone else, and I've always been someone who ignores what my own needs were. Worked for the corporate America, burnout in the corporate America. Pretty much like went through the whole journey, worked there. I think it was only 6 months before I started to feel the symptoms of burnout, and went to the hospital, in and out of the hospital, got real sick, had to quit. That's pretty much like the small story there. And then I started my own business, and I recognized the importance of empowering and advocating women to eliminate shame and guilt around pelvic floor dysfunction. But also, you can't only focus on the physical being. We have to understand how your mindset is. We have to understand the spiritual being. We have to understand how all of this is tying together. What are your emotions that you're holding on to? What are those stories about your recovery?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at today. I know that's a long answer to what you said.
No, it's a beautiful answer. No, that's amazing. That's so funny, because I similarly first started seeing a physical therapist when I was 14, I think, for my dance injuries. And that's my journal from eighth grade said I wanted to be a dance major and a physical therapy minor. So I always knew. So when I left the dance world, because I originally was a dance major in Manhattan, so I was originally dancing. And when I left the dance world, I knew that that's one thing that I wanted to do, is to help people without cutting them open or medicating them and keep them moving. And so that's funny, but what an amazing testimony. So as far as, I mean, you touched a little bit on mind, body, spirit, soul. So those are the four pillars I find with wellness. So speak to how you maybe have put that on yourself. You spoke a little bit, but how do you translate that to the women that you help with as far as mind, mindset, their body, which is nutrition, sleep, whatever. Spirit is community, and soul is like they're in touch with their higher power or that innate intuition. And definitely what you talked about, even being a female, we do tend to give to others before we give to ourselves. And so I think that's not even just like a you thing or dance thing. I think that's being a woman and why too we're so prone to burnout in corporate America, whether it's healthcare or not. And speaking to that book too that we talked about in the flow, how everything has been designed around the men's rhythm versus women's rhythm. And so we're definitely on the same page there. So I'm going to let you go now and speak to a little bit of the four pillars as I'm a little random here.
Yeah, no, I think it's important because it's like everybody treats differently, right? And what sets me apart, and one of the big reasons why I created my business was because I wanted to incorporate wellness more. Yeah. Because what I found was, specifically speaking to pelvic floor physical therapy, I don't actually treat a whole lot other than pelvic floor anymore. That's like my thing, so that's all I do. So I don't know like how this incorporates to when I was in orthopedics more, but what I do now when I ask a client, my very first day, I ask them about all of those pillars. Like one, spiritually, and I'm not afraid to go into that. Like, what is your community like? What is your support system? And if they don't have one, I'm the one to make those connections to Facebook groups, mom groups, support groups, and say, please reach out to this person. We need somebody there. I have lots of counselors that do free support groups that I work with that I connect women with all the time. And I think it's important because I get a lot, I get two variations of women, pregnant and postpartum women, and then I see a lot of trauma victims because of my story. So the way that I pull clients in, I have a lot of domestic violence and a lot of rape victims that will come into my practice. And so I know that I have to have those resources for them to be able to reach out and get that support. And physical is obviously the physical therapy side. I'm looking at how are they functioning at home? How are they moving around? How are they lifting baby, moving baby, whatever? Or how are they with their partner? Are they having painful sex? Are they able to have sex? Are they having, you know, fears and anxieties around what sex is? Like, what's that sexuality fear that they have? Which leads us a lot into that emotional mindset type thing, right? The mental pillar. And I'm obviously going to forget which one I forget because that was just three, but I'll get back to that. But the mindset is so important with recovery, but also one, step one to doing anything with your health is admitting that you need that support. And I think a lot of people, specifically women, we are taught to feel ashamed of something going on. And so the things that I treat has a lot of shame and guilt around that. And so every time a client comes into my office, I give them a journal. And I give them journal prompts every time I see them because I have to know, one, do I need to make a recommendation to a counselor? But two, I need to know what your feelings are towards what's going on. Like, how are you managing your emotional side? How are you feeling about recovery? What is that mindset? Do you feel that you deserve recovery or do you feel unworthy? And why? Why do we feel that way? And so I think it's really important as a clinician in any healthcare field that we do target all of those pillars because we can't ignore that belief in or not belief in higher power, universe, and all of that. Like, we can't ignore the fact that that can contribute to feeling less worthy or feeling like you don't have anything to live for and a lot of depression and things like that. So screening clients for depression and loneliness and what's their support group and having the connections and resources is a really big part of my practice.
I think that's so beautiful. And so the last one I think that we're talking about is body, but why it's so important that we address the emotional aspect where people try to compartmentalize healthcare and everything and pain into the body. But think about where trauma and injury happens. When you are scared or when you have emotions, you clench, you're clenching. And so that pain or your tissue and your fibers, something's neurologically going from your brain to your body, telling it to recreate that pathway. And we have to retrain it and figure out where it's coming from. And unless we change the mind, the body cannot be changed. And it's very connected. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, our healthcare system is starting to go a little bit more Eastern and looking at the big picture instead of it being like this system as all separate, and instead seeing that we're human beings, totally all interconnected in so many different levels, and we need to treat people as a whole in order to get to the root cause instead of just treating the symptom.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's important too, because I think like one thing that lacks in our healthcare training, and I'm probably like throwing myself out there under the bus a little bit, but I feel that that's the part that lacked, because we only learned the physical side of treatment and education and diagnosis. Yeah. And I had to bring in a lot of the rest of that from my own experiences and study about how I can help people more so with coping mechanisms, sleep hygiene, like all of that, and why that's so important to recovery.
Well, and that's too, and what I've heard as far as our doctors too, like they aren't trained or taught in hormones, and so, and I found out too, so the medical boards are what tell the colleges what to teach the medical doctors, but the medical boards are funded by the pharmaceutical companies, so doctors are taught to medicate and treat symptoms, and they're, and they think they're doing their best, like they really, like they think that that is what they're supposed to do because that's what they're taught. But it's like the more that I've been in the healthcare system, the more that I realize it's, I went into healthcare because I wanted to help people and I didn't want it to be political or about money. And now I realize it is very networky, more networky and clicky than the dance world, and more political than the dance world, which is part of why I left the dance world. And so that's kind of why I think there needs to be more of us. I think there's a lot of practitioners breaking out of the mold and doing their own thing because we're kind of fed up with the system and we want patients to get what they truly need and what they truly deserve to have substantial, long-lasting results and not be dependent on external things and medications that are costing them tons of money and also causing other symptoms. When they can actually heal themselves naturally. And medications do serve their purposes by all means, but I really do believe that we have within us what we need to heal ourselves. It just needs to be activated.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Cool. So what are some like mental and body things that you do to take care of yourself in like a busy professional? I know it's hard, we get distracted. So what are things or check-ins that you have with yourself to be sure that you're staying well?
So I have about a 2-hour time span in the morning before I start anything work-related. And that is really tailored to doing my movement, whether that's yoga, whether that's, I'm really big into intentional like movement and intentional training instead of forcing myself to do things because I think I'm supposed to. So I'll wake up and tailor it to how I slept. Like I feel like doing yoga today. I feel like actually running today or different things like that. And then learning to really like listen to my body. And that's taken years of practice, by the way. But
I was like, I got to get there because I'm still at like, just do it.
It's really, really difficult to get there, but I had to because I kept getting injured and I had to figure out why.
Yeah.
And then I do meditation, and I try to, and I say try to because some days it's a lot harder than others. I try to do a 30-minute of meditation every day. Usually it consists of deep breathing work, but visualization is the best one for me, where I'm visualizing how my day is going to lay out, making sure that I'm prepared and equipped to not react, but respond to the proper things and doing that. And then I love to just sit in Shavasana and just like let my mind be and just do whatever it needs to be. Took a long time again to let that happen because my mind's wandering all the time.
Monkey chatter.
yeah. And then throughout the day, I constantly have reminders on my phone. I set for every 3 hours, and every 3 hours, it'll make this god awful noise that forces me to stop just because it's like, stop. And that's my meditation time. And I take 5 minutes to breathe. And every time I do that, it takes whatever I'm stressed out about or whatever I'm overwhelmed about, it kind of lets it melt away. And then I'm able to get back into that mindset, mind, body, and spirit, particularly to be able to face whatever's coming next. because right now specifically things come at you that we're unaware are going to happen. It's always needing flexibility as an entrepreneur. You always have to be able to take on new problems and new situations and new solutions, and you have to be able to create all these things. But what I notice is the more that I stack those on and put the pressure up, instead of allowing myself to understand that pressure doesn't have to be a negative thing, I have to remind myself throughout the day to calm and to breathe and let my nervous system relax. And then at nighttime, I put my phone outside of my bedroom an hour before I go into my bedroom, because otherwise I want to scroll. And I've had to limit my social media intake a lot in the past year. Mm-hmm. But I leave my phone outside. I don't watch TV. I typically will read a little bit of a book, but I do more meditation because that's just what my body needs, because I'm wound up at nighttime. Yes. And I've got to calm down.
Yes. That is so beautiful. And I feel like I've been really good about the social media aspect until this. Being furloughed, yeah, and not having work, and then just and not having community or connection. Like, it's like I know and I'm conscious of it. Like, I'm seeking connection or connectivity or information or dopamine from whatever likes. And so thank goodness I have a pretty good nightly routine, and that Epsom salt bath gets me hot and relaxed. And then I try to read, definitely, and I have like the cold temperature, three fans, classical music, and that wind down, because nighttime used to be my wind up too, and it used to take me an hour to get to sleep, and I'm lucky I can get to sleep pretty well now. Not always good at waking up, though. I tend to wake up probably like 3 a.m. sometimes if my mind's racing. So, well, wonderful. If you had one book and or, I'm letting people do both if they want, podcast to recommend, it doesn't have to be wellness related, what would you recommend to our listeners?
I'll actually do both. I have a book that I recommend mainly because it's the very first book that I read as far as getting my mindset where it needed to be. And people laugh at me when I say this, but it's You Are a Badass by Jen Shapiro. Yes. And I really hope that you've read it.
I have.
Yes. It's just a very simple read, but it made so much sense to me when I read it.
Yes.
And I love that book. And as far as podcasts,
I have the little button too. Like the little, Kristen sent me the button and you press it. It's like, You Are a Badass. So I like to use that sometimes.
Yep. And I think that's really important because we have to have those mental mindsets of we can create what we want to do. We are worthy. We are good enough. And when you get started, it was such a good read to just like remind myself of all of those things.
Have you read
obviously
her?
My favorite book is the Bible, but
yeah. Have you read her other one? The money one?
Yeah.
So I've read both. Okay.
Yeah. They're both really, really good. And as far as a podcast, shameless plug, mainly because it is around women's health, but my podcast is pretty badass too. Vaginas and Vertebrae. I do it with another chiropractor. I'm a physical therapist, but she's a chiropractor, and we talk all things women's health. No, like, information is too much. We love getting people on that talk about things like sexuality or being afraid of talking about sex. What does a sex therapist do? We're talking to different people that are in the birth world, women who treat people that are pregnant, all that good stuff. But we also just share our own story. And so I think it's just important because we throw the information out there that makes people uncomfortable because we have to.
That's awesome. No, I got to start listening to that. So I'm very passionate. Actually, I'm going to be getting into women's health. I'll be taking my first Herman and Wallace course in September, hopefully, if we can travel by then and have live courses by then. But yeah, it's something that I've always kind of wanted to delve into.
Amazing.
Awesome. Well, where can people get more of you? Because I know, because you do some telehealth, right? Because like you go to people's homes, but you also can do telehealth. You can treat people wherever they are. So where can people get more of you, of your podcast or online or wherever?
Yeah, so the best place to find out about me and all of my services is on my website, which is femempower.org, F-E-M-M, and then the word empower.org. And you have a contact us page there that you're more than welcome to fill out, and I will call you. You can do that. My other favorite place is Instagram. I love Instagram, at postpartum_physio. And then you can also find me on Facebook, Kaylee Garrett Zimmerman. I'm very active in the social media community, so I'm always checking I probably check about twice a day to make sure that I don't have any messages that I have not responded to yet. Emails I get to a little less frequently, but you're more than welcome to shoot over an email and I will contact you as soon as I can.
Yes, and definitely you put a lot of really good content on, free content and information on Instagram as well, that I get a lot from. Not just in women's health, but even with anxiety and depression and trauma stuff. So, yay, I am so glad that you took time today to be on our podcast. Really good to see your face and connect with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love interviews. I like to talk about myself. I don't know if that's a bad thing.
I think most people do. I think that's a little thing called ego. That's all part of us as being human. We all have egos, and that's okay. That's just part of who we are. As long as we're not run by the ego, then and we know how to foster it and use it towards good.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, I will put those links in the show notes. And thank you, Dr. Kaylee.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Wellness Warriors, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. And again, if you got anything from it, please leave a review, good, bad, ugly, positive, whatever it may be. I want to grow and become a better person for you, to better help you and grow along this journey of wellness. And again, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Wellness Warriors unite, and we do it anyway. Love you.